Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Bashan. It is election day all over this great land from sea to shining sea. And for those of you who are registered, because it is now far too late to become a registered voter, and have not yet voted, it is my wish and my hope, my desire, and certainly my command that you go and find that ballot and fill it out. Because if you think it's too late, Captain Joe, it doesn't matter. It may well be exactly your vote that does matter in a closely contested election. As always, I choose not to endorse, and I also choose not to disclose. Because to me, one of the great aspects of the right and obligation that we have to exercise the franchise is the secret ballot. So it matters not to me how you vote. It matters to me a great deal that you do. So here in the state of Washington, if you are one of Captain Joe's people who lives here in the state of Washington, you can vote only either by mail or by dropping the ballot into a drop box. Your ballot has a couple of layers of protection. It has codes on it by which you can track your ballot. And once again, I am adamant in my confidence in the overall safety and security of the voting systems that we have in this country. Regardless of the outcome, I will accept whatever that outcome is. Regardless of who is my commander-in-chief, I will observe my oath of loyalty and obedience to the Constitution, which establishes how we behave towards our commander-in-chief. If you have not yet voted, find that ballot. Fill it out. Use black ink. Fill in the little bubbles and send it on its way, because that ballot may well be the one, in concert with other who are late for quarters, that those ballots may be the ones that will decide a close election. Here in the state of Washington, there were a number of different propositions as well to be voted on. A couple of those are going to be, I think, very close. And those ballots which come in late may well be the ones that decide how some of your money is spent, how some of your politicians behave. Those are in those ballot initiatives. My greetings today, therefore, go out to all of Captain Joe's people who not only have registered, but who have voted, and have not yet voted today, but will. And then, secondly, because not only is today election day in America, but in a few days, on the 11th, it is Veterans Day. It used to be called Armistice Day because it reminds us of the end of the First World War on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. The guns went silent all over Europe, and in particular in France. my much-loved France. And over the years, that was our memory of that was as Armistice Day. In the UK, it is on Sunday, is Remembrance Sunday. And all over the UK, you will see people wearing red poppies. These are the red poppies that grew in Flanders Field. The red poppy idea has not been as popular or as well remembered here in America, but everyone in the UK will be wearing a red poppy this weekend. And Remembrance Sunday, His Majesty the King will go to the cenotaph in London and will have a ceremony. He would have to be on his deathbed, which he is not, but he is on the binnacle list. And now it looks as if Camilla may also be on the binnacle list, and the Princess of Wales, Kate. So that moves us into the binnacle list. The binnacle list broadcast live on The Voice of Vashon 101.9. I have to get this in, and if I don't get it in the beginning, I forget it. 101.9 on the FM band. And stream live all over the world from, we'll go the other way around this time, Singapore, well, from Sweden, of which the capital is Stockholm, to Singapore and the other side of the world. Streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. And every Tuesday at 12:30, and now we're on standard time here in the Pacific Northwest again. Every Tuesday at 12:30, that broadcast comes from your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. To the binnacle list. Over the weekend, I went to a remembrance gathering for my friend Edie, who was the wife of General Joe, my ranger friend here on the island. Edie died several weeks ago, and there was a gathering in her honor over the weekend, and I went to that. I had a chance to talk to the general, and I was struck by a couple of things. The first one was that it was a typical island kind of gathering. There were some dogs that had gotten into the house, and not sure to whom they all belonged, but they sort of got handed around and passed around. It wasn't exactly a coat and tie kind of affair. It was people who live and work on the magical Isle of Vashon. People who have been friends for many, many years. In my case, now well over 20 years that I've lived here on the island. And there were people there that I had not seen for some time, and that is the second thing that really struck me about this, is that these gatherings, when we come to remember a much-loved person who is no longer with us, the people who themselves have, for one reason or another, decided to go dark, come out, and want to say things and want to remember the person that's being honored. And that's exactly what happened. And there were people there that I had not seen for some time. And it was as if Where have you been? Are you all right? Captain Joe, you're standing up straight. When I'm no longer standing up straight, then you'll know that it is time for the flag-folding ceremony. So that was the binnacle list entry for a friend who crossed the bar in and left the binnacle list that way. But in other and better news, I had said last week that I had not heard from Kurt's parents. And that triggered a signal from Kurt's parents. And it was a good signal, and it included some photographs. One of the things about Veterans Day, which was Armistice Day, but now we call it Veterans Day, has to do with the word duty. It is a word that those of us who have taken the oath when we became members of the Armed Forces of the United States have not always fulfilled our duty. But I mention it here because, first of all, that is the title of the book that I'm going to get to in a minute. The title of the book is Duty by Robert Gates. But also because that signal from Kurt's parents reminded me that this is a family that has fulfilled their duty in the most loving and in the best possible way. Kurt's parents sent me a photograph of Kurt. And he is pictured in the chair of one of those things that goes up and down from the second deck to the first deck, which they have installed in their home so that Kurt can get, now he is able to move himself. He can get himself into this chair. And he can get himself from the second deck down to the main deck. It was a lovely, heartwarming photograph, and it was a lovely and heartwarming message from Kurt's parents, and I am delighted to report. And I am also going to point out that one of the reasons why we have the binnacle list in the format and the way that we do is because it marshals the concern of all of Captain Joe's people in the direction of those who need it the most. I don't know exactly how the electricity of it works. I don't know exactly how any of it works. But I do know this, that when we put somebody on the binnacle list from the captain's chair, the attention of all of Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast is directed to those people. Far more efficacious that than just for your captain to say, all of you are in the palm of my hand, because all of you are. But even though I am the captain, I am only one person, but all of you are helping out. Now, a quick mention of my own entry on the binnacle list. In the last week, I had that PET scan, and I met with my oncologist yesterday. Good news all around. There's no spreading beyond the affected organ, plus a couple of lymph nodes. We're going to try a chemical approach to start off with. I was adamant when I made my decision. I said that I was not going to engage in any treatment regime which would diminish my energy and my enthusiasm, because I have got lots of places to go and people to see, things to do. a sloop to buy, another Mercedes to acquire and use premium fuel at a prodigious rate. And that's a decision that I made. That's a decision with which I will stick. And I am not even going to bring it up on the binnacle list again until or unless there are changes that all of you should know about. And I have to thank all of you who have sent me such wonderful messages. Wonderful, wonderful messages, strengthening messages. For indeed, all of us are in this same big cutter that we call the world together. And we each of us touch fingertips, not as often as we should, but we do. So I've dwelt over long on the binnacle list. We're going to move on from there. The other one is that there's also good news about my young friend, Sean. And I am taking as good news a lack of a signal from Jay and lack of signals from other people that I have been tracking. So then know that all of you who are on the binnacle list are always in the palm of my hand and close to my heart. And as it would appear and it would seem, that I am close to yours because I have gotten just wonderful, wonderful things, messages, signals from all over the world. I am more grateful than any of you can possibly imagine. The book today is indeed called Duty. It's by Robert M. Gates, who was the Secretary of Defense for George Bush, the second Bush. The book was written in 2014, so a lot has happened in the world since 2014. But I bring the book up with the word duty because I also want to tie it into Veterans Day, Armistice Day. Each one of us, on the first day or the second day that we were in whatever was our beginning in our time in the service, took the same oath. And it's not very different from the oath that the president, the commander-in-chief, takes. And in that oath, we promise that we'll do the best that we can to protect and defend that wonderful document that we call the Constitution of the United States. We also swear an oath of obedience. Obedience to the lawful, and that's the operative word, lawful, the lawful orders of those appointed over us. That then implies that we have a duty, and if we extend that obligation to our duty to family, to friends, to people that we come into contact with, maybe only briefly, but we have an obligation and a duty of doing the best that we can in that relationship. Now, we all fail. I, more than most, have failed in the observation of duty. And whenever I fail, I almost always know it, and I then do what I can to make it right. I bring this up because this particular book is running, has threads, steel threads of duty running through it. One could look at it as an accounting of a period in our history. I look at it that way, but I also look at it as the exemplar of a man whose sense of duty was so elegant, is so elegant, because he's still alive. And he, of all people, talks about in his book about his own failures. I highly recommend it, if only to look at the cover. The book is Duty. It is written by Robert M. Gates. It is a remarkable, remarkable story. And it talks about something that is important to me in the observation thereof. And I am now going to tell you a little story about duty. And this is about my friend, Sir Vivian Fuchs. And say, well, Captain Joe, why aren't you going to tell us a story about an American? I'm going to tell you a story about Sir Vivian because it has connected to it the story of another knight who did not carry out his duty. And the story goes like this. Sir Vivian was my friend. And he accomplished the task that Shackleton had set for himself to be the first one to go completely across the Antarctic continent. We all know the Shackleton story, and I will refer to it frequently because I am a great adherent to the Shackleton story and to Sir Ernest himself. In 1957, Sir Vivian Fuchs decided that he would and was able to organize an expedition that would go from the Antarctic Peninsula side, the Weddell Sea side, going to the South Pole and from the South Pole to close to where our McMurdo Station is in the Ross Sea today. He enlisted the services of Sir Edmund Hillary. Ed Hillary of Mount Everest fame. Hillary's job was to anchor down the base camp on the McMurdo side, not very far from where Shackleton started out when he made his run to the South Pole, not very far from where Amundsen and Scott, all of them fairly close, within 100 miles of each other. That was Hillary's job. He was to anchor that place down, and he was to be there and be ready to welcome Sir Vivian when he accomplished the transit across the Antarctic continent. Sir Vivian gets underway, and he gets to the South Pole. And who was there waiting for him in defiance of his orders but Sir Edmund Hillary? Hillary had decided that he would go from the McMurdo side up the glacier and to the South Pole and be there to greet Sir Vivian when he showed up. This was in defiance of Sir Vivian's orders, written instructions. And we could do an analysis of this, that what did Hillary put at risk by not following his instructions? When Hillary died, a friend sent me a copy of his obituary in the London Times. And I read the story, and I was reminded of Hillary defying his orders. And I said, I am going to go into Sir Vivian's autobiography. Sir Vivian wrote two books. He wrote his own autobiography, and he wrote another book about the British Antarctic Survey, of which he had served as the director. And I went into his autobiography. Now, Sir Vivian lived a life of duty his entire life. I came to know him well. We became very good friends toward the end of his life. And I've got a number of Sir Vivian stories. A parenthetical insertion here. What made me think about him today was the photograph that came from Kurt's family showing the thing that goes up and down the stairs that you ride when you need to go from the second deck to the first deck, because Sir Vivian had had one of those installed in his home on Barton Road in Cambridge. And I'd seen him go up and down that thing many times. And that reminded me to tell this story. And to remind myself what a man of duty and obligation Bunny Fuchs was. That was his nickname. There were not many people that were entitled to call him that directly to him, Bunny. I was one of those fortunate people. That was the character of our relationship. So I went into his autobiography thinking, well, if there was ever a chance here for Sir Vivian to ventilate on this particular subject, this would be it. And as I went in and I finally found a reference to it, and the only thing that Sir Vivian said was, I got to the South Pole. And I was met there by Ed Hillary. That was all he said. No castigations, no saying he violated my order, none of that. I was welcomed by Ed Hillary. We were happy to see each other. When we talk about duty, we talk about things that are important to those of us who have served. We think back on those times when we did not accomplish our duty as well as we should have. In particular, when we have not maybe been the shipmate that we should have been. This has happened to all of us. I use the example of Bunny Fuchs as one of duty accepted and accomplished with the same level of style and elegance that you will read in Bob Gates' book, Duty. And I use Ed Hillary as an example of duty accepted and understood, but not accomplished. Examples from my own life, and in particular with Sir Vivian Fuchs, one of the great gentlemen of the entire world that I was privileged and fortunate enough to get to know very well, and at the end of his life. So I have one business recommendation, because I've come once again quickly to the end of my time. And I've talked about duty, and it's important to me to say these words about duty because it's a word that we don't hear very often anymore. I want it to be a firm place in the vocabulary of all of Captain Joe's people. Because if we talk about it, we use the word, it only has four letters. We use the word with those over whom we have some influence, then that ripple is going to ripple out all over the world. And that means that on this day, Election Day, when it is our duty to express our wishes as to who shall lead us, the duty to do that. And it is then coming up very quickly, a day in which most carried out their duty to come to the end of a terrible war, a war which we thought and hoped would be the last one that we would ever have. And, of course, that's not what happened. We've come yet once again to the end of our time together, and this has been a kind of sober and somber time for me, because I'm remembering some friends that I will not be able to sit down and talk with again. Someday I'll tell some more Bunny Pook stories about our relationship and our time together. But in the meantime, this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am, as always, on station and watching properly. As always, all of you are in the palm of my hand. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we'll meet again right here. And I will have returned from Long Beach and the Queen Mary, and we'll talk about that. That's going to be an interesting weekend coming up. Watch out each other's six. Take care of each other.